When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Reality radio for a really great future.
We're talking real money.
Tom, last week, got really excited when he found out that I was in a book about the first 75 years of radio.
I think it's pretty cool.
He was really excited. I just never thought that much about it.
Picture of you at Disney Studios circa 1994
or so. Yeah, 1994, I'm guessing.
Great pick.
That was with
Scrooge. There's another Donald in the picture.
No, that's Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, it looks like.
It's Scrooge McDuck. Who else would be on a money show?
The photo says Donald.
Oh, did it really? Donna, did the caption say Donald? It's not Donald.
Yeah.
It's Scrooge McDuck along with Don McDonald. You know what I had in my pocket? I had all those Disney dollars.
Yeah, no, it was great. Yeah. Great pick. Yeah. And by the way, the book is I think I bought the last one.
I think, right? It's been out of print for a long time. and he got the last one on Amazon, the last new copy
of it. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's right there on my.
It's a coffee table book. What's really interesting is not only am I in it, but it just worked out. My kids were radio disc jockeys on the predecessor to Radio Disney, which was called Radio Oz. And so two of my kids are in the book too. It was kind of cool.
Fantastic.
Although it was a long time ago, and I don't think anybody actually bought the book.
It's a big book. A lot of picks.
855-935-TALK. That is the phone number you dial to be a part of the show to talk about money matters of any kind, because money matters. It does. What? What?
And
you're raising your hand.
I'm going to lecture just for a moment.
Who are you going to lecture?
All of us.
Oh,
because
okay.
Here's what people expect, right? You expect when you invest your money that every day that money is going to increase in all things you invest in. We have this weird thing like, well, wait, that part, as we just talked about last hour, is up 30%. How come the bonds, the fixed income, the safe stuff is down 3 or 4%? I got to move the stuff from the bonds because they're not making money and put the money in those small cap value stocks that are up 30%.
Tom says.
If you've determined you need bonds in your portfolio for the following reasons: stability. The right short and intermediate term bonds provide stability. They are the bedrock when stocks, and we can remember it wasn't that long ago when they went down about a third in like 20 trading days last spring. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
You're really
that.
Glad to have the bonds. Yeah. Number two, they provide diversification. They are completely different types of securities than stocks. Stocks are an investment in a company. A bond is an IOU. They are a completely different thing. And here's another thing to think about when you retire. If you have money in bonds, you have a stable pool to draw from no matter what happens to the stock part of the portfolio. Yet, you're calling me, you're asking me, you're telling me, get me out of these things. And I just looked it up. Dimensional's intermediate term bond fund has lost about 4% year to date.
Mm-hmm.
And they're those saying, then let's get out of that and move into stocks. No.
That's like why am I not in the small cap value fund that went up 29%?
Money's at Fidelity.
It went up 29%. The bond fund went down 4%. We do not know what tomorrow will bring. And here's the thing about bond funds, particularly short to intermediate term bond funds. Try to repeat this over and over and over again.
It's important because longer term, we already looked, are down over double digits this year.
You don't get the same hit when rates rise. And you have to remember that when rates are rising, as they are rising, a mutual fund that owns bonds is buying new bonds all the time at these higher rates to replace the old bonds, thus increasing the income you receive from the portfolio over time.
And if I can just make it very simple, stocks make the money, bonds keep the money.
That's the only
reason. I know
reason.
That's very simplification, but that's the
but
way you should look at it.
I keep seeing suggested portfolios. I saw one from Morningstar where they put in really eclectic, high-yielding, gimmicky, derivative-type products to try to get a higher yield from the bond portion of the portfolio, defeating the purpose.
And remember, the bonds we're talking about are issued by the U.S. government. They've always paid you back with the interest that was due. When you start veering from that, that's when I get nervous. I've got a great 99-year Argentinian bond that's paying 9%.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Again,
do not invest in that.
That
do
is...
Not, but the point is...
He doesn't have
a
it.
Reason
he,
why.
He doesn't own it, and he never sells it.
There's a reason why it's paying that much. You have any idea? Because you may or may not get your money back, and you may or may not get the interest of that either.
If history is any guide for Argentinian bonds, they haven't fared so well in the past.
No, they haven't. So again, bonds keep the money, stocks make the money. Quit worrying about every part of your portfolio making money every day. It is not going to happen. Period. Exclamation point. Sorry.
Not too much punctuation there, Tommy. 855-935-TALK. That is our phone number, 855-935-8255. Hey, I found that there's one more copy of the 75 years, the Blast from the Past book. $115 somebody's asking for it, for one new copy.
Wow.
You can get used ones
for
18.
Get online and sell mine now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There you go, arbitrage.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Want a free copy of my book, Financial Physics? Well, go download it right now at Vestory.com, Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Hi, welcome back to the show. Amazon never ceases to amaze me. I needed some vitamins. I went online during the break. I ordered them. They'll be here in the shortest period they'll be here is within 45 minutes. Somewhere between 45 minutes and 5 hours from now, they will be here. Pretty amazing.
I didn't want to have to be the guy to tell you that you needed that, but I'm glad you figured it out.
Yeah, no, I did. I did. Well, my wife has been bugging me about B12, so I needed my B12. Yeah. I ran out. Hello, 855-935-TALK is our phone number, 855-935-8255. And let's head to those phone lines, shall we? Ben, you're up. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, Ben.
Greetings. Greetings, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Okay. I'm glad you guys are out there because you two gentlemen, Don and Tom, you make more sense than most people that I know. And I'm sure glad you're out there. Now, here's the question. You were talking about value stocks versus growth stocks. And let me talk for about a minute, minute and a half, and then I'll be quiet and I'll let you guys comment. I don't have much education, and I've been listening to you guys for the last couple of years. And so I went to Vanguard, and I had an advisor that I left last August last year. And at that time, my portfolio was $800,000. That includes the traditional IRA, the Roth IRA, and the non-IRA. And my total at that time was $800,000. Right now, my portfolio in about 6 months is $1.35 million. So that means my portfolio went up $550,000 in 6 months. And here, I don't have much education, and I just kind of listen to you guys, just staying with Vanguard. And here's my portfolio. Dividend growth. Large cap, okay. Mid cap, small cap, international growth, two gold funds, Matthews China, Vanguard Technology, and I was in bonds up until recently, and I got rid of all my bonds, and I know, Tom, what you just said, that you should have bonds. I got my Morningstar yesterday. And I've been getting it out for about a year and a half. And the last two pages, they have a total of course, they have 500 funds they tell you about. The last two pages are page 10 and 11, which are all bonds. If you looked at those two pages, gentlemen, they're negative. Horribly negative.
No, we absolutely know that. Yeah.
We understand that. By the way, I want to make sure thank you for your call, Ben. And I want to make sure I answer what you just said. I did not tell people to own bonds. If you're all in stocks, well, that's great. You have to be accustomed to the volatility that comes with that. A decrease of your $1.3 million portfolio could go back to $700,000 very quickly, as we saw last spring. So I'm not telling people. All I'm saying is you don't sell bonds because they've gone down. That's poor strategy. Number two, thank you for listening. I'm glad we helped you grow your portfolio from $800,000 to $1.3
million. Not us. We wouldn't have picked any of those.
No, because a lot of those funds we would not believe in. Gold, we wouldn't buy. We wouldn't buy the Tiger
Matthews
Fund. We wouldn't buy a whole bunch of that stuff, because that's highly speculative. Vanguard has very fine index mutual funds, and you don't need to own 10 funds to get that diversification.
Let me congratulate you. I want to congratulate you on your incredible streak of luck. Just like I would congratulate someone who won at the craps table in Vegas. You won the investing lottery. Congratulations. Do not think you will continue to do so, because I can confidently state that ain't likely. If this was my money and I got that lucky that fast, picking segments of the economy that just happened
to
do.
That's a good point. That's exactly what you're doing there. When you pick gold, you pick
China,
I think the
tech,
Matthews tech. Is China, tech, which have had great runs. But those are speculative.
And I got to tell you, if I went from $800,000 to $1.3 million in 6 months, my first thought would be, I better start protecting that.
Oh, okay.
I really want to protect that, because the portfolio you have right now, if it can go up that much that fast, it can go down that much or more.
Thank you.
That fast. That fast. And you will never know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We all think we can know the future, and we cannot know the future. We can't buy and sell things at the right time. You got lucky, pure and simple. You got lucky. You need to diversify like crazy based on your true tolerance for risk, and protect some of your winnings at the craps table, because this was Wall Street's little craps table.
And especially if you're in qualified accounts, like I think you mentioned in IRA, you could sell stuff there and buy other things.
I don't
keep
I got to tell you, I would take the capital gains hit even on some of these things. And I would get
like
well diversified, massively diversified. Wouldn't try to pick large, mid, small dividends, gold, China, tech. I would just put it all over the world with some bonds. I would.
I like what you said. If you made it that fast, you could lose it that fast. I think that's a great way to look at it. And that is what history has showed us. The question also would be, if your portfolio went from 1.3 down to 700, what would you do then?
Sell.
I know what most
sell.
People would do. They would
sell. They would go,
it's going to go to zero.
They would go,
oh
my gosh, I've lost everything I gained. I don't
want
to go back below 800. I'm selling.
Yep. And that's what they would do.
855-935-TALK is our number. Charles, you're next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks, Charles.
Good.
What's up?
Oh, man. So I got a couple questions. I'm very against this whole, stimulus package, but that's beside the point. However, I've been divorced for 3 years now, and I have fortunately made a good amount of money in my life. And I don't know what the next move is for me now that I no longer pay What do you call it?
Alimony?
Spousal support.
Oh, yeah. Alimony. Spousal support.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think today it's called spousal support.
Yeah. So I make a good amount of money, and I've got an opportunity to. So I've got a 401k and I've got a pension, right? My 401k, I didn't pay a lot into it when I was married, because when I was married, we were just starting out, right? With me being allowed to allow, $9 or whatever into my 401k company match. So we were just starting out. We were buying a house, and, you know, 13 years later, now I want to pay into my 401k more to...
Okay. Tell you what we need to
do. Hang on, Charles.
We have a break coming up. So what we need you to do is distill all that down.
Yeah.
To the question that we can help you with, and we'll give you a minute or so to think about that. 855-935-TALK is our number, 855-935-8255. It's free, it's easy, and it's all about your life and your money.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
We can take your questions at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, like we're going to try and take Charles' question. We know now that you're divorced, you're done paying alimony, you put like $9 into your 401k or something way back when, and I think the question is getting to, should you put more away? Is that where you're going?
I think so. Okay, so I guess my question is, she gets half of my retirement up until the day we got divorced. Well, I was always only paying $2. So now, how do I recoup that money, I guess, for my retirement?
Okay, so she got half of your retirement account.
That should be over and done with a Quadro, right? It moved into her account.
Yeah, it's done. So here's, paying any.
She's never had a job. Like,
but she got half of your retirement money, so she was able to move that into her own account. That's gone now, right?
No, because it's confusing. I'm a carpenter by trade, but I'm an associate member, so that money does not go anywhere until I retire.
She's going to get it. Okay.
So you need a different retirement plan to start saving from this point forward.
Wait, now hold on. I got to ask you a question, Charles. Really important. You are no longer paying spousal support to her, correct?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. How much was that a month?
The spousal support?
Yeah.
I think it was $1,800 a month.
Okay. So you're now $1,800 a month richer, right? Right?
Yes, absolutely.
So if you want to gain back what you lost or will lose to her in the future, what you ought to do is set up a Roth IRA for yourself. Start funding that to the tune of $500. How old are you?
I'm 36.
Okay, $500 a month into the Roth of that $1,800, leaving you with about $1,300. And then you just start investing that in tax-advantaged mutual funds outside of your IRA. You start then to rebuild the wealth. You're plenty young. You got buckets of time to do this. If you put $1,800 a month away in both a retirement tax-free fund and a taxable account on which you're not going to pay a lot of taxes because it'll be tax managed, then you're going to be looking at, in 20 or 30 years, you're going to be looking at hundreds of thousands of additional dollars, way, way more probably than you're going to lose to her.
Thank you, Charles, for the phone call. Hope that's some good advice. And again, good luck on your future. You know, speaking of marriage. We just both watched Marriage or Mortgage this week.
You made me watch it.
Because it's a financial show.
You called me and you said, I want to talk about this weekend. You need to watch Marriage or Mortgage on Netflix. And I rarely have regretted watching a show more than that one. That was an hour of my life I can't get back.
Why do you regret it so much?
It was just a ridiculous premise.
Here's the premise. They find these young couples. They say you've got $30,000 or so. You can either have a big wedding not a big wedding. They said the average wedding is like $35,000 now, or you can buy a house. Now, obviously, $35,000 for
a down payment.
Here in the Seattle area is not going to buy you much.
Well, this is in Nashville.
So the homes look pretty nice. But the interesting thing is finding how these decisions are made, because it's fast. Here's the reason I found it interesting.
Yeah.
The woman on the show that I watched, the bride,
I watched was very the same rational. One.
Yeah, very rational, paying attention to expenses, et cetera, et cetera. I was watching and I said, she's going to say we're going to put buy the house. My daughter said, no, Dad. Look at the way she's looking at all this stuff. She's going to go for the
wedding.
The wedding. And my daughter turned out to be right. But this is a good reminder to us all, because we've seen this happen many times. We think we're being guided by our intellect, but most of the time being guided by our emotions. That, and especially gets you in trouble with money. And but by the way, adding to that, $35,000 to spend for a party, outrageous.
But you know, I knew that lesson before I watched the show. So the show was just
going to watch and said something about World War II or something.
Probably the production values were, and you know, come on, a wedding planner goes out and gets you the bus to ride in, serves you like a bottle of Dom Perignon. Come on. They're not going to make it back. They're not going to make back what they spent. No, they buy a video game, an old video game console for the guy to play in the house. Come on. No realtor does that. 855-935-TALK.
Are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
And by the way, if you are looking to open an account, a Roth IRA account or a mutual fund account or, you know, an after a taxable account, we suggest funds at TalkingRealMoney.com. Three funds. Go to TalkingRealMoney.com. Scroll down. You'll see three funds from three families.
Three funds from three families.
Right. And
sounds like a movie.
They're at Fidelity, they're at Schwab, and they're at Vanguard. And you open a Roth IRA at Fidelity or Schwab or Vanguard or any other brokerage firm, and then you start funding it on a regular basis. I also wanted to mention something to the previous caller, the one who said, I'm not in bonds, because if you've seen what bonds have done, they went straight down. And then
the other caller
who said, I want to be in that small cap value fund that went up 29%. Why was I not in that? Both of those calls illustrate this behavior in human beings. This looking back and thinking it means something. The short term. Like the first 3 months, almost 3 months of 2021, the Fidelity Small Cap Value Fund went from $10,000 to about $13,000. Boom. Just like that. However, and I wanted to look this up and I was right. From January 1st, 2019.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Until the third week of March, 2019. $10,000, similar period. $10,000 in the Fidelity Small Cap Value Fund.
How
went
much?
Down to $6,800.
Whoa. I mean, then always the question is, would you have stayed the course? Would you say, okay, that's part of the deal.
You wouldn't have.
I know.
Because it's the same kind of drop. You notice the drop is bigger. It's a bigger decline.
It is than it was an increase. Good point. By the way, this is exactly why I watch Marriage or Mortgage. This is exactly the kind of lesson you get from that.
Because
right on it
keeps you from watching CNBC and Fox Business, which is the only redeeming feature of the show.
And one of the columns I really like is a guy named Mark Hulbert, who's at MarketWatch. Now you got to pay to read the stuff. MarketWatch was just this horrible marketing.
I would never pay to read that drivel.
But they've got Hulbert there now, and Paul Merriman writes. I mean,
there's some stuff I like. I like Hulbert a lot. I like Paul a lot.
Yeah.
There's a few columnists I like a lot, and then there's some of them who I think are idiots, and I would never pay for it.
It'd be like paying for
Jim
Cramer.
Did you have a point?
I guess I am paying for Jim Cramer.
Not if you don't watch the commercials.
Yeah, but no, they get a kickback of the cable bill I'm paying.
Yeah, they do. Are paying for it. That's why I like the way I watch television. I pick the services I want to own. The heck with the rest of you.
Just went off and went on.
Yeah, we went off and went on for a minute. I'm not sure why.
All right. Anyway, that's
That was really weird.
No, we're good.
Okay.
That was
we're good. The world did not completely end just for a brief moment. It was just an experiment. 855-935-TALK is our number. 855-935-8255. You can call us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we'll answer your question on the podcast. You can also send your questions in at talkingrealmoney.com. You can type them. Or you can record the audio if you have a computer mic and it sounds really good. And we'll answer those on the podcast too. But we also answer a lot of those questions on the show, the ones that you type in. And we're gonna take a couple of those, well, at least one of those after the break, which is coming up in just a minute. So I'm not going to get to it. Well, I guess I could get to the question. We just can't answer it till after
then,
the break.
Then we can say, coming up.
We'll All right, tell here you we go. Ready?
All right.
My spouse retired last year and will not reach full retirement for Social Security for another year. Since she won't be generating any income until then, is it still worth it to wait until she reaches full retirement rather than go ahead and start taking it? Thanks for your thoughts.
I'm trying to make sure I understand the question. The question is because she's not working.
She's 1 year from FRA. She has no current income right now. The difference, if you need, here's the answer, really. If you need the income that she no longer has,
that's right.
Then you go ahead and take it at 69, which is still really close.
Yeah. I mean, remember, by the time you go tell them you want it, there's going to be a lag period there anyway, by the time you get it.
Yeah. So,
you know, I tell my wife, just get to work. There's money to be made. You get out there and do something. Come on, provide an income.
Yeah. How's that working
I don't
for you?
Say that. She's not here. You notice that today. I haven't seen her in a long time.
I guess we answered that question. We'll do another one after the break. 855-935-TALK is our phone number. We're talking life and money and how you can make more of it and not lose it as badly.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Because money fuels everything. It really does. You're not going to have a roof over your head without money. You're not going to get food on your table without money. You're not going to put your kids through college without money. You're not going to enjoy a great retirement.
Retire.
Without money. You're not going to retire at all. You're going to die with your nose to the grindstone without money.
Well, it's still about half of the country that in retirement that relies entirely on Social Security.
That's not that much
That's
money.
It.
Particularly not in the Great Pacific Northwest, the Puget Sound region. You're not living
imagine.
On Social Security.
Can't imagine. No, can't imagine it.
855-935-TALK. That is our phone number. Stop by. Doug, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen, or good afternoon.
Hey, Doug.
I'm 72, and I have to take my RMD distribution this year. Can I put that in a Roth IRA?
No, sir.
I don't need the money right away.
No, but you can put it in just a tax-managed mutual fund of some kind.
You have to take it out and pay tax on it unless you give it away charitably.
Right.
Period.
No, I understand that, but, you know, given that it's after-tax money, I was just
to do the Roth, you'd have to have income.
Ah, got it.
Yeah. So, here's what I would do. I mean, you find a really good mutual fund. Sure. If you don't need the money, just put it in a good mutual fund. And if you're concerned about taxation, get a tax managed fund from Vanguard, for example, put it in there and just let it go.
Don, about 30 years ago, I listened to you on your show and you entered Vanguard and I've been in there ever since. So, and I've done pretty well with them. So, I'm familiar with Vanguard.
Cool.
And that's where I'll go.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for the call, Doug. We appreciate it.
By the way, the book that Don referred to,
years.
I noticed that, the reason he's in this book, Radio's First 75 Years, they're calling Marconi a classmate of yours. Is that true?
Yeah. You stole that. You stole that from a friend of yours who texted you that. It's not even original.
I know.
What do you have, writers? What do you have, writers now?
I got people now. I got people. They come in and say, pick on Don this way. Pick him on this way. I love it. Thank you.
I have this other question that I had before the break. You want it?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, why not?
This is saving for kids, not retirement.
Okay.
I am currently contributing $100 a month to a 529 for my 2-year-old granddaughter.
Beautiful.
Their parents are expecting child number 2 to be here in the next few months. I want to contribute another $100 a month for the new grandchild. Should I open a second 529 or just contribute to the one already established? Since siblings are eligible to use the same account, does it matter? Question mark.
Yeah, I mean, the account owner is you.
Right.
So the money's still yours. And if there's any tax ramification, that's yours to handle. The beneficiary is the person that you want to give the money to for the educational purpose. Yeah, I guess you could have one.
You could. You could have one for both. The only reason I would have two is because one of the better ways to do this is to use the age-based solutions.
Yeah, that's a good point, by the way.
And the 2-year-old is going to be using the money 2 years sooner than the newborn.
That's good.
2.5 years. So the older child will be in a more conservative portfolio.
Whoa. You're saying they'll be in bonds?
Yeah, some. Yes.
Oh,
yes. Bonds.
Come on. Those
bonds.
Have lost money this year.
Yeah, because we don't know what the future's bringing. We just don't know.
And by the way, the other reason to have two separate is maybe you love one grandchild more than another.
Never. A grand?
Just saying.
No. A grandparent.
I'm just having fun today. Come
grandparents on. Love all their grandkids the same. No, it's parents.
You
who
don't
have,
mess with the grandkids.
Yeah, it's parents who like one kid more than the other.
Yeah, no, and kudos.
Because they live with them all the time.
The reason I like the 529 is not just because of the taxes, but because of what it suggests to the next generation that education is important. If it's important to you, I hope it's important to them, and you're providing a way for them to get going on. And I think it's a great plan.
Well,
if you will.
Since we have time, I'm going to give you one more.
Ah, okay.
Another short one.
Okay.
These are really short, kind of easy.
Yeah, normally you give me these ones about, you know, I took this here, and then this, nobody can figure them out.
Don't have any of those for you today. Today I have one from Kevin. I know that because he says, hello, my name is Kevin. I am 22 years old.
Yeah.
I have a Roth with Fidelity.
Nice.
And I have about $120 in the stock market. Sounds like he has a Robinhood account with like $120
bucks. Okay, so it's separate from the Roth then.
Yeah, I think. Okay. I don't know. Okay. Doesn't say. Maybe they're one and the same. What should I be doing at this age to prepare myself for retirement?
Well, there's a couple things not to do. Don't start trading stocks like many of your
peers,
fellow Gen Z now? I don't know what you're
calling
those
I can't
people.
Keep up. The last one I remember is millennials, then I'm done.
And don't follow their example buying Bitcoin or non-fungible tokens or all the rest of that stuff that is pure 100% hype.
Now if you want to get the non-fungus tokens, those are better for you.
My toes will feel so much better. But here's the things you could do. So if you have a Roth, I'm not quite understanding what your question is. I would put the Roth all in stocks, one fund. We give you some examples at talkingrealmoney.com. But you go to Vanguard, very simply, and own an exchange-traded fund.
Or if he has an account with Robinhood, he can just get VT with Robinhood.
Yeah.
But here's the trick. Actually, what should you be doing at this age? You should be making automatic contributions to your Roth. You should determine how much per month you can afford to have taken from your checking account automatically and invested in your Roth. I believe that most of the major brokerage houses can accomplish this. I know Fidelity does it with no minimum. And have it taken out every month like clockwork, whether it's $100 or $200, have it taken out every month when you're young, because you don't want this to be something that, I'll do it next month. You want this to be done now. You want to make it a disciplined approach.
And I'll add one thing to that, because you were saying come up with the amount. I would simply say, look at your income and say, I'm going to set aside 15% autumn. That's coming out every month and it's going away and I'm not going to touch it. By the way, the other thing to still do at 22 would be and have an emergency fund of some kind. So if you were to lose your job or something hit you, so you save some money that way. No.
At 22, you just move back in with the parents. I know how this works. I got one of those.
Half of Americans between 18 and 29 moved back last year.
Yeah, my kid moved back. She's been here for years.
They knocked at my door, but I just ignored them. I went downstairs and turned up the TV. I couldn't hear them.
They're probably still out into the back deck.
They're out there with that bird.
Okay.
Good answer?
No, not really, but okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. Anyway, we're running out of time for this segment, so I'm just going to give you the phone number again. And remember, this number works anytime. You can call it 24/7, 855-935-TALK. You can also send in questions at talkingrealmoney.com, which we will answer on the podcast or on the program, more on the podcast than on the program, because we take live calls on the program. And all you have to do to get your answer is just listen to the podcast every day, which isn't going to hurt you anyway. Make a point of listening to the podcast on all the podcast services.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com. V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
And I want to give you a warning. On the 19th of March, we are going to take down all the videos at retiremeet.com. So you only have a limited amount of time to go watch RetireMeet if you weren't able to make it or you wanted to see one of the presentations again. Just go to retiremeet.com and watch those videos there. Plus, if you'd like to get a really great look at how you're currently invested and where you might be in the future in terms of retirement income, order your Retire Map or my Retire Map. It's $100 off, but only until the 19th. And you also get a free copy of Larry Swedrow's latest book, Your Complete Guide to a Successful and Secure Retirement, with the foreword by, get this, Tom Koch. I know, hard to believe. So go to retiremeet.com and check it out. And it's all free there. Everything, you know, you can see all the classes that we did. But we're going to take it down on the 19th. So hurry, go to retiremeet.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit talkingrealmoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?